Well, I appreciate the service already. I guess I can say with the last song that we heard, I am blessed.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. I appreciate your prayers this morning. May the Lord help me to deliver this in such a way that it'd be a blessing to you all and to me as well. I shared a little bit of this with the young people the other day, and I feel like the Lord would have me share it with all of us. Is your cup half full or is it half empty? You know, I've heard the saying where a person holds up the cup and it's halfway full or halfway empty, and they'll ask that question, which is it? And for me, I've always said that it depends. I need more information than that. Because I don't know if you've been pouring it in or if you've been drinking it out. Right? If you've been drinking it out, then it's half empty. But if you just filled it up to that point, then I would say it's half full. So let me ask you this. Should you be empty or should you be full? It depends. Thank the Lord. It depends. What are you filling it up with? Right? I mentioned this to the young people. What if I told you I was filling it up with self? Do you want to be full? Or do you want to be empty? We know the Lord wants us to empty ourselves out. To make ourselves empty before Him. Why? So that He can in turn fill us up. And so when I think about this, I kind of think about, you've got the cup, then it's halfway, and I think a lot of times, are we going forward or are we going backwards? I was at the park the other day with the children, just watching them play, and I kind of was messing around a little bit myself and got on the teeter-totter, and I'm trying to balance this teeter-totter where it wouldn't go one way or the other. And, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of movement off center of that teeter-totter to go one direction or the other. And I think about that cup that's halfway. And I don't believe that it takes much of going one direction or the other to really start getting momentum that direction. So are we going forward? Or are we going backwards? Are we filling our cup up? Or is it beginning to empty itself? Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Thank the Lord. Which way is he going? I'd say he's going forward. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Would you say he's going forward or backward? By the statement of Jesus, it was like the Lord was telling him, I want you to go forward from here. You know, and I think sometimes people get in their minds that, well, I will, Lord, I will. I want to follow you everywhere you go, but let me first. And Jesus is telling him, no, stop. Don't do that. Let the dead bury their dead. Come follow me. Do what your heart is inspiring you to do right now. Follow me. Don't go away. Because I'm afraid that when you get over there, you're going to forget about what your experience is right now. And you won't come back. When the Lord is dealing with our hearts and he's speaking to us and he's calling us to go forward or he's calling us to move out, don't stop. Don't say, wait, Lord. Let me first do this or let me first do that. No. That will be a hindrance to you. That little step away can be the opportunity the devil needs to get you to go all the way back. We're on that teeter-totter right there. And we want to be that man that says, Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever you go. Think of Brother Dan the other day. He said, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. Thank the Lord you blessed me. And not long after that, the Lord said, okay, here you have it, Brother Dan. It's a teeter-totter. And he had the decision to make whether he would go back on his word or do what he said he would do. And praise God, he did what the Lord had for him to do. Are we half empty or half full? Which direction are we going? We're on that teeter-totter. And may the Lord help us to go forward. 61 and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Seems like a reasonable thing, right? Let me tell everybody goodbye. And the Lord said, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't go back. Come follow me. Get rooted. Get grounded. Get established. Let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's focus in on that. He's saying that they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge or the experience that they've had through the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. Praise God. They have a new life, a new hope, a new experience in life. And then he says, but after, let me start from the beginning again. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So here we have an experience of one that had tasted of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the newness of life. And he says it's a shame for them to have been entangled again in the affairs that they were once delivered from, and to fall victim to that and overcome once again. He's saying that it would have been better had they not even had the experience than to have had it and to go back. May the Lord help us to go forward and not backward, to allow our cups to be filled rather than to empty away. I'd like to go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, starting at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the ways of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Was this brother half full or half empty? I look at this brother and he's fervently teaching and preaching about the things of God and the kingdom of God, and all he knew was the baptism of John. But yet he was ministering the word of God. And in verse 26 it says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Thank the Lord. And he was able to take that in. And he began to go even further forward in the things that he knew and was able to be a minister unto the gospel. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Thank the Lord. Amen. You know, I think sometimes we can talk about this subject and I say half full or half empty. And some would say, I'm not either of those. I'm all the way full. And I say, thank the Lord. I can tell you that in this service already this morning, I felt full to the point of overflowing in my soul. Just from the song service and just being here in the presence of the Lord, I believe that God is with us here this morning. And I felt full in my soul. But I'd like to go to one more spot. Let's go to Matthew 19. And I'll get back to the other thought in just a minute. Matthew 19 and 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So I think of this young man and how he's coming before the Lord, and he's done many good things. He's saying that he's fulfilled all these scriptures, apparently, that He's followed the commandments of God, but yet he's in a place where he still feels like there's a lack, that he's not all the way full. He's feeling a sense of emptiness still, and he's needing some sort of assurance still, or some sort of confirmation, or he needs something more. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Go and sell everything that you have, and come, follow me. I think of the other scriptures that we read where they said, well, let us go first and do this and that. And he said, no, come follow me right now. And here this man, he tells them, go, and I want you to go sell everything and come back and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, who then can be saved? You know, I think about this passage, and a lot of times we can surmise from this passage that this young man went away and lost out. And I'm not sure that I read that in here necessarily. I know that Jesus said that it's rare for a rich man to be able to enter in heaven, was his comment after the young man left. But you know, I think of this situation here where this young man had a lack. He needed something. He knew he lacked something. And he came before the Lord and he asked him, Lord, what do I lack? Where am I missing something? I'm not full. I have some emptiness happening in my heart and in my life. What do I need more? What is it that I'm missing today? And he gave him something. He said, this is what you need to do. If you want to be full, go and sell all that you have. And I look at this young man and I say, is he full or half empty? And I would have to say personally, for it depends. What's he going to do with the information that Jesus gave to him? I don't know that it specifically says that he refused to do it. Just said that he was very sorrowful. It hurt him. What the Lord had instructed him to do was painful for him, because he had great riches. But I don't know that it necessarily says that he didn't do it. And so for me, whether he becomes half full or half empty in this situation, in this teeter-totter moment of his life, depends on which side he goes. My prayer is that he left and did what God asked him to do, so that he would no longer have to be sorrowful, and so that he can be every whit full. I'm not going to preach this man into hell. I know Jesus said that it's difficult. He said that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. Didn't say they can't get in there. And that young man had the Lord working on his heart enough to be able to come and ask Jesus, what can I do? What should I do? And the Lord gave him an answer. And I pray that that young man made it in, and that he was able to do what the Lord asked him to do. How many of us have been on a teeter-totter in our life, where the Lord has has spoken to your heart and you've reached a point in your life where it's like, the balances are there. One inch over this way and that teeter-totter is hitting the ground. One inch over this way and boom, it's hitting the ground. Which way will I go? A teeter-totter in our lives. Lord, what do I lack yet? What is it that I'm missing? How can I move forward in you? How can I draw nearer to you? How can I be open for you to fill me up? What lack I yet? And I believe that God is faithful. When we come to Him with our hearts open before Him and we have a sincerity of heart and a desire to know the truth and we say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to follow you wherever you shall go. I want to do whatever it is that you would have me to do. I'm open before you. I'm a vessel before you, Lord. Fill me up. What lack I yet? And I believe the Lord can be faithful to those to us in those moments. And He can say, you know, I need you to do this. I need you to do this or that. And I think about the message last night. You know what it is. If the Lord is talking to you and the Lord is dealing with your heart, you know what He's saying. And He's going to be faithful to teach you and show you exactly what it is. When you come before Him with a heart and a desire to know, He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you wondering. When you pour your heart out to Him in that way. But I think about the scriptures. It's in John chapter 6. Let's go ahead and read them. They're John 6 and 59. John 6, starting at verse 59. These things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. What did He say? He said, eat of My flesh and drink of My blood. And this was the response that He received. Many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Don't you think that that young man that when Jesus said, go and sell everything that you have, thought, this is a hard saying. Wow. Was not expecting that. But our souls are worth so much more than all the accumulation that we can get in this world. But we're going to be faced with things in our lives that become a hard saying to us. The Lord may desire some hard things from you in order for you to grow and mature and to draw nearer unto Him, that your communion with Him can be closer and more intimate. He may have some things that come across to you as very hard sayings. And it's in those moments, they're pivotal moments in our lives where we have a decision whether we will shrink back or whether we will draw near. I was thinking again of the service last night, and somebody said that just take one step. When you're able to take one step, all the rest are much easier. Just draw near. One step is the momentum to get you the rest of the way. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not? And who should betray him? And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So here we have an example of those who received a hard saying from the Lord. And whatever the reason within their hearts, maybe it was different for each one of them, but they determined within themselves that they just couldn't follow that. And they began to depart, following him no more. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? You know, Jesus knew their hearts. He knew what the response would be. But I imagine just within myself being the person that says, will you also go away? Being almost apprehensive about, this is a pivotal moment. This is a big deal. Will you go away? Or will you continue to follow me? Will we allow a hard saying in our life to cause us to draw back? I personally believe that there's many who are in pivotal moments in their lives. And it may not seem like it's a decision of following Jesus or not following Jesus, because it seems like it's just a little thing. This is just a small, insignificant deal. But like I said, that teeter-totter, and I was amazed by it. I had a difficult time staying in the middle of that deal and keeping it from going one way or the other. It was a narrow margin to keep from going one direction or the other. And I believe that when we take just a hair step back, you know, it makes it so much easier to take a foot step back after that, yeah, and 2 feet step back. Yeah. It's a pivotal moment. Drawing back from God can become a landslide if we're not careful. But the same is true of drawing near to God. We can draw near to God a hair and be full, completely full, before we even realize it. So I was asking you, are you half empty or are you half full? And like I said, there's many of you, I would say that you would probably answer that question, I'm all the way full. I'm not halfway, I'm all the way full. And I would say, thank the Lord. But let me ask you this. You're all the way full. This cup is relatively full. What if I doubled the size of the cup? Would you be full or half full? You say, well, why would you double the size of the cup? I believe that we can come before the Lord and ask him to expand our vessel. Lord, expand me. Stretch me. Move me out. Make more room within me for your presence. To fill me up with even more of you. To have an experience that's of a larger capacity for God. I think of the example with Apollos, in that he had an experience. He had a vision of the Lord and was rejoicing and was able to deliver the message to others. But he was expanded in the instruction that he received and was able to grow as a result of it. And I believe it impacted his ministry a great deal, and that he was able to bless people because of the new knowledge that he had of Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world. And I believe the Lord can do the same in us if we would call out to Him and ask Him to expand my vessel, Lord, and help me to be in a place to receive more of You. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Because the question is, does God want us to be half full? I don't believe He does. Ephesians 3 and 19. Well, let's go ahead and start at 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Lord wants us to be all the way full with His presence. That is our desire. That is our petition before the Lord. But I'll say that I believe there's something for all of us to do today. If you're on that teeter-totter and you're wondering which way you're going to be able to go because the Lord has presented a hard saying unto you, I pray that you would take that to God and allow Him to help you to draw near unto the Lord, that He might make you every whit whole and full of His presence. But I challenge those who would say, I'm full to the brim. And I say, praise God for that. But I challenge you to ask God to expand your vessel, that He might increase the grace and the power that He can infill you with of His presence. Because I don't believe that we can ever have enough of God. May the Lord help us to have as much as we can get. This is my prayer, and I ask that you all would pray for me in this regard. Appreciate your time and attention this morning.